we've all heard them. The Mayan calendar says the end of the world is coming this year. UFO-like clouds are caused by military maneuvers. The mysteries of King Tut. What do these things have in common? They're all weird, and all of them are in National Geographic's Tales of the Weird. For WNCW, I'm Pam Bunch, and I couldn't wait to get my hands on this book. David Braun is editor-in-chief of NationalGeographic.com, daily news, environment, and science content, and it's a big job. But this is the first time so many weird stories have been put together in one place. David, this has got to have been so much fun to put together.
You know, I can't believe I get paid to read this stuff and then share it with readers. What it is, we've been doing daily news here at National Geographic because of digital media. We're able to do that for the last 10 or 12 years. And we've done about 10,000 stories. And when we looked last year to see what were the most popular stories over the 10 years, it struck us that based on visits and page views, people really like the weird stuff. It's all science, but it's all true, but it's also all weird.
I can't help myself. I'm drawn to weird stories, whether it's browsing the web or looking at magazines while waiting in checkout lines at the grocery store. It's kind of a guilty pleasure for a lot of people, I think, like reality TV.
Yeah, it's quite understandable why it's so popular, because there's just so many mysteries and cool things from the distant past. December the 12th this year, the world is supposed to end based on the 5,125-year Maya calendar. Some people thought it would end because the Maya didn't project the future beyond December 12, 2012. But as the story points out, in fact, the Maya just had a cyclical calendar, and they presumed that the world would just hit like the odometer. When you hit 100,000 miles, everything turns to zero and you restart the new cycle. You know, end of the world theories are always popular, as I'm sure you know.
Yes, absolutely. But I'm trying to figure out if I have to complete my entire bucket list by December 12th.
It's remotely possible the world will end on December the 12th, but not because of the Maya. They were no good at predicting the future. They never foresaw the collapse of their civilization because of the Spanish conquest.
There are a couple of stories here that really caught my eye, and they have to do with the human brain. I'm looking down through the table of contents for the book and saw the title of one story, Is Your Brain Asleep While You're Awake?
Yes, you know, everybody knows this. When you stay up too long, you start to make errors, you become a slow thinker, and with brain scans, it turns out on rats and also people that the kind of slow wave, brain wave that shows up in a scan while you're asleep shows up when you've been awake too long. So there's local sleep going on in your brain while you're technically awake. You're kind of on autopilot. I think we've all experienced doing something and thinking to yourself, did I really just do that? I don't even remember doing this. Wasn't that dangerous? You just go on autopilot. That's indeed how you make mistakes. The brain is also working while you're technically asleep. So it's sleeping while you're awake, but it's also working while you're asleep. But what the brain is apparently doing is hardwiring important memory.
Now, what were we talking about again? We've answered my other question about how the brain cherry picks memories while you're asleep and boosts cleverness.
Right. It tends to be memories that are very emotional. If you see a picture of a car crash, you remember the car crash part of the picture. You don't remember the trees that are in the background of that picture. And that's what the brain does. It cherry picks something that's emotional, has high impact, and stress. Now, if you're apparently exposed to stress for too long, it can cause some kind of brain malfunctioning. That's also in one of our stories. So stress is not a good situation. It's not good for the brain.
Well, that explains a lot about me. Talk about the real story behind the discovery of the Titanic.
This was a top secret mission. Bob Ballard, who is our explorer in residence, who discovered the Titanic. He was working for the Navy. The secret project was to develop the technology. What the Navy was actually looking for were two nuclear submarines, United States submarines, that had sunk in the North Atlantic. What they wanted to look for firstly was what had happened to the nuclear reactors. Were they leaking nuclear contamination into the environment? And secondly, was it a possibility that at least one of them had been brought down by the Soviets? So they desperately wanted to know. It was secret. They went down. They didn't find any evidence of contamination or a Soviet attack. And because Bob knew the Titanic was in the general area, he asked if he could have the remaining 12 days of the mission to look for the Titanic. The Navy didn't think he had a hope of finding it, but he did. and that was a National Geographic story, cover story at the time.
Wow.
And the Navy was quite horrified that he found it with all the publicity that the secret mission part would come out. But in fact, that aspect of it was kept undercover for a long time. The cool thing about this book is it's a reader, so you can literally open it anywhere. There are 153 stories in 500 pages.
This is what I love about it. Considering my sleep-deprived, short-term memory loss-affected brain, I can read this starting from any page and keep reading to the end of the story, and I don't necessarily have to remember what I was reading. Will there be more books like this in the future?
Well, yes, we already have started a companion blog, and it's turned out to be just as popular as we could expect. We're really onto something here. And so we expect that this book was based on the most popular stories of the first 10 years, but we could probably come out with an annual edition, depending on how well this one does.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like it's going to do very well.
Oh, yeah.
And not surprising. People like these interesting stories.
What is the address for the blog?
NationalGeographic.com, and you can click on Daily News for our daily stories. And for the blog, you can just type in to Google National Geographic Tales of the Weird, and you'll come up with our blog, which we started just 2 months ago, and it's already had more than 300,000 visitors. We know we're onto something here.
Yeah, think? National Geographic's Tales of the Weird, and as the press release says, you can't make this stuff up. Edited by Editor-in-Chief David Braun, National Geographic Daily News. You're definitely onto something here. One more question before I let you go, because this is so important to mankind, and womankind for that matter. Did love make Neanderthals extinct?
Yes. You know, we've done some genetic research, not just us, other scientists, and it turns out that perhaps the humans, modern humans, Homo sapiens, did not defeat the Neanderthals in some great epic war in Europe, but maybe we just love them to death, and they're in our veins, they're in our DNA. We bred them out of existence. We have a program, and we look at people's DNA through cheek swabs, and you can actually find out just what percentage you are, what percentage of you is a Neanderthal, and it varies from 3% to about 7%.
Insert your own sexist joke here. For WNCW, I'm Pam Bunch.